Well, you know, it's for me, it's always the greatest privilege to have people out of our congregation share the word, and I felt, you know, just because we've got some things that we're going to be doing over the month of October, Pastor Miranda and I, just with a little bit of travel, and there'll be people in this house sharing the word, and there's nothing more than excites me as a pastor that when we have our very own, amen. I remember one time when we were in Hana, Hawaii, and we decided to hold a revival, and we were at two locations. One was in K&I and one was in Hana, and they were like, you know, everybody started asking who the guest speaker was, and we made ourselves the guest speaker. You know, we thought, why don't we just hold a revival service? Well, let's do 4 days of revival with all of us, and I think different ones in the church had shared. We had testimony time, and you know, that was so much fun and so awesome. And I believe we're even upon that those kinds of things here, where we would just have it. We would roll into that in 2025. There would just be extended meetings. You know, we have a Sunday meeting, and you know what? It felt so good on Sunday night. Let's just meet on Monday night. Amen. And the word of God just flow out of this house, flow out throughout this region. Amen. But Amanda, I can't say enough about her. She's been with us for some years now. She told me the other day, I guess it was a kind of an anniversary time period, but she was like, you know, I've been around for about 10 years. And I was like, has it been that long? You know, Minister Marr, Minister Lee Howe, you know, we've known them for, I think, 10 or 11 years, about the same amount of time. But Amanda's been, she's been here in West Virginia now for three, right? Going on three? Two and a half, so... And she had a word. We were talking about it, and I said, you know, why don't you just share that word? Pastor Miranda's been preaching around grace, and she began to kind of unpack some of it. And I said, you know what? I feel like that would be a great word for the congregation. So let's go ahead and welcome Amanda Sparrow tonight to the Amen. Amen. We love you. Okay, you did that on purpose, right?
Yeah. Pastor Brad just mentioned my phone matches my jacket, so just so everyone can see, it does. It does. Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, because when we did have that revival in Hana, Pastor Brad announced that one of the guest speakers was coming all the way from Boston. I had already been living in Hana for a few years at the time, but we announced that I was coming all the way from Boston, so I guess that still applies. Your guest speaker tonight is all the way from Boston. Yeah. But thank you for the opportunity to share what's on my heart today. My printer broke also, so I will be very modern and be using my laptop. I prefer paper, but here we go. I want to talk tonight about something that the Lord has been speaking to me. So as much as I'm sharing this, it's something for myself as well, and also something that is a revelation for me that might be like a duh revelation. But look past that, because there's a deepness to even the simplest truths that God has for you. So going back to kind of, you know, the beginning and focusing on Jesus is a very simple truth, but so impactful. So let's pray before we get started here. Lord, I just thank you for this night. Lord, I ask that you would use me to share your truth, to bring to light things to people, to engage your people into just action with you, Father, and to illuminate what you have for us tonight. We thank you for your word. I thank you that it will go forth with power, and your word would never return back void. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, tonight I want to talk about faithfulness in stewardship, or four keys to stewarding your relationship with God. And the first and foremost, what I want to cover really is, what is stewardship? You hear that word. We use that word when we're talking about finances a lot, you know, steward what God's given you. But stewardship goes way beyond just a financial aspect. To steward is really, it's our responsibility to work at the tasks God has given us, using the grace available to us to accomplish them and to launch us into new things. I know that was like a really big mouthful, but that's my definition of stewardship. I will read it again. It's our responsibility to work at the tasks that God has given us, using the grace that's available to us to accomplish those tasks and to launch us into new things. So it's our responsibility, but God gives us the power to accomplish it. Praise God. Who wants to do things in their own strength? Exactly. We want to do things in the strength of God. So to be able to access that grace is amazing. But I want, as I'm speaking tonight, I want you to kind of think about some different questions and keep these questions in the back of your mind as I go through a story here. But has God given you a task to do? What is it? Are you being faithful with it? Does it seem too small to take seriously? Or does it seem too big to accomplish? Are you starting with the small step, and have you been faithful? I know that was a lot, but that's kind of the direction that we're going in tonight. Sometimes there's a difficulty with knowing this end goal because it can actually deter us from starting. You see this massive thing that God has for you in the future, and you're like, I can't wait to get there, but then we don't take the first step because we can't see how that first step actually brings us to the end goal. So a lot of the times we might know that God's calling us to something amazing, but we're afraid to take this first step because we don't see how it's actually helping us accomplish this larger task. So I want to go over to Genesis 37, the story of Joseph. He was the first one that came to mind when I started just kind of unpacking this with the Lord, and want to go through this in a few stages. So in Genesis 37, verses 6 to 11, it says, and we're all probably familiar with the story of Joseph, but it says, "Listen to this dream," he announced. "We were out in a field tying up bundles of grain. My bundle stood up, and then your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before it. So what, are you going to be our king?" His brothers taunted, and they hated him all the more for his dream and what he had said. Then Joseph had another dream and told his brothers about it. "Listen to this dream," he said. "The sun, the moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me." This time he told his father as well as his brothers, and his father rebuked him. "What do you mean?" his father asked. "Will your mother, your brothers, and I actually come and bow down before you?" So Joseph knew what his task was. He was given a dream from God, and he knew that his brothers, his parents, were going to eventually bow down before him. He was able to see that he was going to be a ruler. But I want to make a point here that he didn't know what that really meant. He knew that he was going to be a ruler. He knew his family was going to bow down to him. He knew he was going to be in a position of authority. But where he was not in Egypt. He wasn't in this kingdom yet. He wasn't in this place where he could see, how does this dream fit into my current life? But he did know that there was a significance and there was a calling on his life. So he took the dream seriously. He didn't take it as just, oh, you know, that was just a cool dream that I have. He shared it, and his brothers knew, his father knew. There was a significant importance on this dream that was apparent to anyone that heard it. So step one to being a good steward is that you have to acknowledge that God is calling you to something. Step one, you have to acknowledge God is calling you to something. We have this word behind me, thrive. At the beginning of the year, we were advised by our pastors, pursue God. What is he telling you to do this year? How are you going to thrive? We went through thrive physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. What does that mean for you individually? What is God calling you to do? Well, in order to ask that question, what's God calling you to do? You have to believe that God's actually calling you to do something, right? You have to have faith in yourself that God wants to use you and he wants you to thrive. Joseph had to accept the fact that his dream had meaning. It meant something. So I would ask you, what is your dream? What is the thing that God told you at the beginning of the year? If you don't know what God's calling you to do, maybe you said, I got saved this year. I missed the whole thrive boat. That doesn't apply to me. I went here in January, so y'all have fun thriving, but not for me. No, let me correct you right there. If at nothing else, God is calling you to a relationship with him. God is calling you to steward your relationship with him, and he's calling you to something greater than what you came from. If you got saved this year, God is calling you to continue with that salvation. So maybe you don't know exactly what you're thriving in, but you can thrive in a relationship with God. So if you didn't do your work in January, there you go. I gave you a free one. Step two, to stewarding and being faithful in stewardship is to keep on track. Stewardship takes faithfulness and consistency. I heard a quote the other day, and I loved it. It said, if you don't know where you're going, then a distraction will look like an opportunity. And we know the scripture, without vision, my people perish. But if you don't know where you're going, a distraction will look like an opportunity. Something might come in front of you, and you're like, wow, is that from God? Maybe. But maybe not. Maybe it's a distraction sent your way because your focus isn't on what is he calling me to do. At the beginning of the year, God told me to do something, and now this other opportunity is coming up, and maybe I'm just going to go there because that's easy. I'm just going to go there because it's simple. I'm just going to go there because it gives me a little bit of attention. I'm going to go there because it's something that's coming at me, and I don't really have to do much for it, but I can just walk right into that instead of having to thrive over here and do some work for it, right? Sometimes an opportunity is... Sometimes a distraction looks like an opportunity. In Genesis, if we flip over to 39, I'm going to read verse 2 to 10. It says, the Lord was with Joseph and blessed him greatly as he served in the house of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. So Joseph naturally became quite a favorite with him. Potiphar soon put Joseph in charge of his entire household and entrusted him with all of his business dealings. From the day Joseph was put in charge, the Lord began to bless Potiphar for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs began to run smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibilities over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't have a worry in the world except to decide what he wanted to eat. Now Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man, and about this time Potiphar's wife began to desire him and invited him to sleep with her. But Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I ever do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. You know, you look at the story of Joseph and how quickly he was elevated to a position. He was sold into slavery. He became a slave in Potiphar's house. He became blessed in that position, but he very easily could have been disgruntled. He could have forgotten his dream. He could have let his circumstances of his brother selling him affect how he stewarded his relationship with God. He could have taken those tasks that he was given and then let that distraction come in and steal what he had because it looked like an opportunity. I mean, he had to decide to keep himself on track in his relationship with God. He had to decide to be faithful and consistent, not only in doing what Potiphar asked him to do, but also in his relationship with God. So even though he was called to this task did not overstep what God was calling him to do. Potentially, he could have gotten more favor had he slept with Potiphar's wife. Potiphar probably never would have known. He would have had this opportunity in front of him. I'm sure she would have treated him nicely. She might have gotten him better things. He might have gotten a little bit better of a comfortable situation. He has control over everything. But instead, he said, I can't do that against my master, but I also can't do that against my God. He had to be faithful in stewarding the dream that God had given him. Because God didn't give him a dream of serving in Potiphar's house. God gave him a dream of being a ruler. And so he had to keep his eyes on that dream. He had to keep his eyes on stewarding that calling on his life and not give in to a distraction that was coming along the way. There has to be a consistency and belief that there's greater. We're always thriving. When you work on what you have at the beginning of this year, that's not where you're set for life. That's not where you stop thriving. I've thriven. I don't know if that's a word. I've thrived. I've accomplished it. God told me to do this. I did it. I'm done. I'm good for the next 40 years. No. No. That distraction that Joseph faced wouldn't have been horrible. It really wouldn't have been that bad if his end goal was to just always be over Potiphar's house. But he knew that his dream was in faithfully stewarding the end call, not all these little callings along the way. I had this dream that I was going to be a great ruler. My brothers were going to bow down to me. God wants to use me. Well, you know what? I got sold into slavery, so I guess Potiphar's house is the best it's going to get. This isn't pretty bad. I was in a pit. They almost killed me. Now I'm in this position. I guess I'll just cruise here. No. He knew I have something greater. I have something better. I need to be faithful and consistent in going after that calling. Number three, we have to pay attention to the things that God has already spoken to us. God will not continue to give you things to do if you're not doing what he's already telling you to do. He's not going to waste his breath. You might have this big giant calling. You might not know where to start, but I can guarantee you God has given you a little baby step to take. Guarantee it. I guarantee you that if you have this giant calling on your life, that God has given you at least one step to take, one bit of direction to go after, one person to pray for, one thing to pursue, one person to lead to the Lord. Have you taken those little steps? Or are you ignoring them because you can't see how it connects to your future? Are you trusting that God has your back along the way and will teach you things in every circumstance? Or are you saying, well, I'm called to be a pastor, so I can't clean the church because I'm called to be a pastor. If God told you to clean the church, go clean the church. Because like Pastor Brad said, it's great when you have people serving, but I know that when they started 5-6 years ago, they were cleaning the church. If you're faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful. This is Luke 16:10. It says, if you're faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in larger ones. But if you're dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibility. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? Think about that with Joseph. If he wasn't faithful with other people's things, how could he be trusted to have his own things? When you focus on moving to the next step with God, when you focus on thriving, you have to prove yourself that you're going to be faithful in the little things. Because once God gives you the great things, if you haven't proven yourself in the little things, that's where pride comes in. That's where dishonesty comes in. That's where every single attack comes in. And once you're up here elevated, it's a much bigger fall than if you deal with those things when you're doing the small things. Genesis 39:5-6, and then 8-10. And I just read this, but I'll read it again. From the day Joseph was put in charge, the Lord began to bless Potiphar for Joseph's sake. All of his household affairs began to run smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. And when Joseph was there, he didn't have to worry about anything. Joseph was placed in a position of authority, and he alleviated the worries of the person that was over him. He was faithful and consistent in the calling that he was in. And he was faithful with the little so that he could be ruler over much. And then the other verse talks about how he pushed away Potiphar's wife. He was faithful with things that didn't belong to him so that God could give him things that did belong to him. If he treated other people's items, it says, if you're untrustworthy with the worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches of heaven? And if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? If I'm not faithful with preaching the word of God from here, this is Pastor Brad's pulpit. This is Dr. Morocco's pulpit. If I'm not faithful to study and to bring forth a word, if I just come up here and wing it, how will God ever give me a platform for ministry again if I'm not faithful with something that belongs to someone else? If I can't prove myself in the opportunities that come up? If Joseph had given up in that moment, if he had let those thoughts come in, he could have destroyed the calling on his life because he wouldn't have proved himself faithful. Have a faithful character that you can be trusted with and work towards what God's calling you to do. Number four, steward the call by honoring it. Steward the call on your life. Steward what God's telling you to do by honoring it. And this is really where the Lord has been working in my heart over the past couple months. But stewardship isn't just about doing it. God's called me to do a task. I'm going to get it done. It's about honoring the task, doing it not to the best of your ability, but the best of God's ability through you. It's your job to steward your capacity. What you make room for is what you honor. And what you honor, you will make room for. If you don't honor the gift that God's given you, you will not make room to practice it, to operate in it, to give it to others. 2 Timothy 2. Timothy 2, verse 20 and 21 says, "In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are used for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a utensil God can use for his purpose. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work." You have to take responsibility for your own vessel. It's fit for the Father's use. Have you honored yourself in your call that God's put on your life? Have you honored yourself and said, "I'm going to keep myself pure. I'm going to keep my heart and my motives pure. I'm going to honor what God's called me to do so that I can be a vessel that he's using and to be used for honor"? The key is that you have to do it. You have to do it. You're a vessel from God, but you have to keep yourself pure. You have to choose that I'm going to be a vessel of honor. What's great, though, is that you activate grace through all of this. Pastor Miranda's been preaching on grace. Relentless Life group in the house, what is grace? Empowerment. Thank you. Thank you. We've been talking about grace in Life Group as well. Grace is the empowerment of God. It's the power, it's the very living power of God inside of you. It's granted to you so that you can accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. It's supernatural ability that you can just tap right into. And the thing about God, he's not going to call you to something and then be like, "Go figure it out. You can do it. I believe in you." No. He gives you that grace. He gives you that ability to tap in that allows you to push past what your natural abilities are and tap into his supernatural strength and bring that down to your situation and say, "I can do it because God's doing it through me." It's not about me doing it. It's not about what I can do. It's about saying, "I'm going to take responsibility over my capacity. I'm going to take responsibility over my schedule. I'm going to honor the things that God's told me to do. I'm going to seek him. I'm going to pursue him. I'm going to tap into that supernatural grace. I'm going to allow it to operate in my life, and I'm going to see the plan of God unfold because I'm stewarding what he's told me to do, and I'm honoring it." I want to encourage you don't get content or aggravated with where you are in your journey with God. A lot of the times, we can wish we were further along, right? Like, I wish I didn't mess up. I wish I didn't do that. I wish I did this differently. If I started pursuing God 5 years ago, I would be in such a different place right now. And we can get upset at the fact that we're not where we want to be with God. Don't let that happen. Push that out. Don't be content where you are with God either. Well, I'm just good here. I'll just coast here. This is better than I used to be, so I guess I'm good. I'll just stay here. This is good with me, right? Lord, I'm doing it right, right? This is what you have for me? No, he wants you to go so much further. Be happy with the task that God's assigning to you. Yes, be content in where you are with God, but don't stay there. Be happy with where he has you and where he has you going, but don't just cruise. Know that you're prepping for your future. Joseph honored the task that he had even when he was in prison. We didn't get to that part yet, but going back to Genesis 40, Joseph is now in prison. And there's an important thing to note here in the scripture. Genesis 40, verses 1 through 8 says, "Sometime later, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker offended him. Pharaoh became very angry with these officials, and he put them in prison where Joseph was, in the palace of Potiphar, the captain of the guard. They remained in prison for quite some time, and Potiphar assigned Joseph to take care of them. So they were under Joseph's authority. One night, the cupbearer and the baker each had a dream, and each dream had its own meaning. The next morning, Joseph noticed a dejected look on their faces. "Why do you look so worried today?" he asked. And they replied, "We both had dreams last night, but there's no one here to tell us what they mean." Little did they know, Joseph knew how to interpret dreams. He had some experience with that. He had his dream on his forefront. I'm supposed to be a ruler, and I'm sitting here in prison because of something I didn't do. But he was placed in authority over them, and his response was, "Interpreting dreams is God's business," Joseph replied. "Tell me what you saw." He honored and continued to operate in the gift that God gave him, even when he was in prison. Even when he could have said, "I'm not supposed to be here." Even when he could have said, "God, why do you have me here in prison? I'm supposed to be a ruler. I didn't even do anything wrong. I'm not even going to use my gift anymore because obviously you don't even want me to use it. You have me here in prison, and there's no reason for me to be here in prison. And how is this going towards my future? How am I thriving in prison?" God gave him a gift. God gave him the gift of interpreting dreams, and he didn't withhold that based off of his situation. He honored the fact, and he stewarded his gift with honor. No matter where I am, these people are placed under my authority. They need direction from God. God's given me that ability. I'm going to honor the gift no matter what I feel about it. And I'm going to steward the gift God gave me and honor God by releasing it to his people. He interpreted the dream. He didn't hold back because he was upset. He used the gift that God gave him, even if it wasn't where he wanted to be or how he wanted to be used. We have to perfect the gifts and the tasks that God's given to us. And we perfect it through our action, but also in our heart motivation. So much about stewarding the gifts God's given to you is about how your heart responds to it. Being a good steward isn't checking a box to complete a task. It's honoring the gift and serving the Lord wherever it might be, in whatever moment it might be, enjoying it from your heart. Looking at this and saying, "Lord, thank you that you gave me the ability to interpret dreams. Thank you for allowing me to use it even when in prison, that I can still access the grace of God, that I can still be used, that even in what seems like the darkest moment, you've sent someone to remind me that you gave me a gift to use." Instead of letting your heart get hardened about your situation and what's around you, what is the opportunity that God's given you now? How are you stewarding that, and how are you showing him that you're doing it with honor? Stewardship is about honor. Brother Don preached about honor a couple weeks ago, and I looked back in my notes, and he said, honor is favor, value, respect, and to cherish. Is that how we look at the gifts of God, the opportunities that God's given us? We have to look at the tasks of being a Christian, and I say tasks, in quotes, I have it in quotes in my notes, the tasks of being a Christian as points of honor. It's an honor to serve God. It's an honor to worship. It's an honor to be part of a prayer call, to have the ability to pray with others. That's an honor. It's an honor to greet people. It's an honor to be married. It's an honor to be a mother or a father. It's an honor to have a loving parent. It's an honor to fix the chairs when we have an event and we have to put them back together. It's an honor to drive the bus. It's an honor because we live our life as a living sacrifice. So every time that we give up something that our flesh wants to do and we instead use it to serve the Lord, that's an honor because we're living a life to honor the Lord in every situation, not just in the situations that seem fun, right? Like in every situation, not just the ones that are in front of a crowd, or maybe you don't like being in front of the crowd, not just the ones that are behind the scenes. it was an honor when we went to Ida Mae and I got to put together the food boxes upstairs, knowing that that box was going to go to a family in need and they were going to come to know God because we put those slips inside that taught them about God, that they were going to be blessed. That's an honor to be a part of that. To steward the gift that God's given to you, to steward the life that God's given you, to steward the relationship with God that he wants with you, is a life of honor and sacrifice. Are you stewarding the opportunities that you have? If you are, and as you steward them, God will give you more and more. I want to bring a couple examples in here, just because, like I said, this is something that has been stewing in me for the past couple months, and those who are close to me, those who are in my life group, who have seen a change in me, I'm sure. But I want to give you a couple examples, a business example and a ministry example. You know, at the beginning of the year, God told me to set up a business with an LLC, Limited Liability Corporation. I think that's what it stands for. It protects you. I had two options. I could set it up as an independent contractor and just kind of use my own stuff, or I could take the extra step, go to the federal government, get all official, do everything prim and proper, and be protected. And God told me, set it up in a way that's going to prepare you for growth. I said, okay. Well, in January, I didn't have any growth. I had one potential client that I was working with, and I set it up the easy way and then got convicted real quick. And I had to change it. So I actually set a goal. If I look back in my prayer and fasting journal, it says set up LLC by February. And I mean, I set that thing up like February 27th. I have to give myself deadlines because I will wait till the deadline. I'm a procrastinator at heart. But I got convicted, and after setting it up the easy way, I did finish setting it up the correct way that God told me to by February. So I hit my deadline. I was doing good. Why? Because one, I knew God was calling me to do something. That's the first part of stewarding. Two, I kept myself on track. I set a goal, a timeline, when I needed to accomplish this task by. I was consistent. Three, I listened to the little details of what God was telling me to do. I set it up the way he told me to set it up, not the easy way. And I began to steward my business well with one client. A couple hours a week, not too much. Not even 1 month later, I had my second client, which I could now add because I had this whole company set up. So now I have this like fancy company and I have a name and like I'm official and some people don't know it's just me, but that's okay. And now it sounds really good to have this consulting business, not just me doing some work. Well, today, this week, I just took another call. I'm in talks right now to add 18 more clients. 18. 1 to 18. What does that mean? What Pastor Brad was talking about. I can now start to hire people if these talks go through. Well, what happened? If I didn't steward what God was telling me to do, and I set it up the easy way and didn't get convicted and listen, because I can't say I set it up right the first time, I didn't, then I wouldn't be able to have these conversations to add 18 more clients because I'd have to say, oh crap, I gotta figure out how to transition this over. It's the middle of a tax year. How does this work with income? How does this all happen? Do I have to wait? How do I hire someone under my, all of these things would have been questions. And right now it's just easy because I'm like, yep, I have a business set up. You just do it right through there, no problem. Oh, I can add employees, I can hire people, I have to still figure out those steps, but I know that they're easier because of the way that it was set up. And now I also have legal protection for myself, my house, my car, whatever my assets are. People can't come after them because I have this business entity set up. So when you listen to the way that God wants you to do things, he gives you some insight that will make it easier further on, further down the road. I had to look at this as an opportunity and see that if I was faithful in the little with one client, then in a few months' time frame, God would give me more. So if I chose not to set it up that certain way, then I wouldn't have been able to take on more because I would have been capped because I wouldn't have stewarded the opportunity that God gave me. So when God gives you an opportunity, when he tells you how to thrive in a certain way, listen to him because he knows what he's doing. Make sure that you understand he's calling you to something. Be faithful, to be consistent about it. Put yourself on deadlines, just some typical business from a procrastinator. Give yourself deadlines and goals. Be faithful with the little things and then honor and steward with honor. It's an honor to have clients. It's an honor that people trust me with things. The next example I want to give is a ministry example and closing out, and I think it would be like so much more spiritual if I had keyboard in the background, so I'm going to call you up, make it sound super fancy. I've been active in ministry for a while. When I was a teenager, I felt like my ministry was to give. I was like, I know how to make money. I can give into the kingdom, and that is 100% a ministry. And I also couldn't talk. Like, if I was trying to talk in front of someone, even like in a group of two or three, I would turn red. I would sweat. I would like stutter. It was a mess. I never would have pictured myself public speaking. You couldn't get five words out of me. So I was like, okay, ministry to give. Perfect. That's what I can do. And then God was like, no, that's not, I mean, like, yes, that's part of your ministry, but also I want you to eventually pastor. Okay. So now I have to start stewarding that. Okay. I'm not going to go from a teenager to a pastor overnight. God has grace with me for sure, but he also asked me to steward the calling that he put on my life. So what did I do? I had to prepare. I became a youth leader when I was 17 years old. I helped at VBS. It's like, if you know me, it's not my thing. But I helped at VBS. I learned kids are very energetic, don't really understand the complex words that I try to use. I went to Bible studies. I would joke because I was the youngest person in the room. Like, literally, it was an elderly woman Bible study that I attended on Tuesday morning because I wanted to learn. I was 20, and the next age was 62. It was great. I learned so much from those ladies. I got involved in like every aspect of leadership and in ministry, and I really just forced my way onto a lot of the teams. The leadership team, I just kind of went to their meetings, hospitality, media, youth, kids, security. We didn't have security, and then someone tried to like do something sketchy, and I just stood up. I was security that day because it needed to get done. A lot of them were kind of self-appointed, but I just forced my way in because I was like, God's called me to do stuff. I got to figure out what to do. If you're not going to let me do it, I'm going to wait till you tell me I can. That's kind of my mentality. But I also followed preaching that was powerful. I went on mission trips. I got involved. I moved to Hawaii to help with a church plant. I got more exposure there to different ministries. I started leading life groups. I started a youth group again. I helped with media. I helped with stewardship. I was trying to be a godly example even in the business realm there. I started going to Bible school online to get book knowledge. What can I do? How can I steward what God's telling me to do? I moved back home. I got involved in a local church, did whatever they needed me to do. I started preaching on tithe and offering. They started saying, hey, we actually have money to pay people now because we're preaching on tithe and offering. Wonder how that happens. People were activated in the gift. I started holding prayer meetings. I wrote Discover Track programs. I taught Bible studies. I led outreaches. At every stage, I'm learning. I'm growing. I'm stewarding the call because I know that every step along the way, I'm adding something to my tool belt to go towards this greater thing that God's telling me to do. And I'm not by any means. I am not saying that I have had the perfect example of what to do. I'm giving you the highlights here, okay? I moved down here. I got involved in different areas. My goal right now, and I'm kind of like outing myself, right, is I'm trying to be our pastor's right-hand person to make their lives easier so that I can kind of like force my way into the inner circle and be like, what can I learn from you? Right? Like, how can I make your life easier? How can I honor the call that God put on your life so that I'm actually honoring the call that God put on my life? How can I learn from you? What systems can we put in place? How can we do this better? I'll start some life groups. Let me do prayer calls. What opportunities? Opportunity like this. It's all a training ground. It's all a training ground, and it's all stewarding the call that God put on my life years ago. Now, if you don't know where you're going, a distraction will look like an opportunity. And I want to share real quick and just get vulnerable here for a minute. I had a hard decision to make a little while ago. I got frustrated. I was like, God, you called me to be a pastor. Where's my growth? How come I don't see this going here? I've been in active in ministry for 10 years. Like, I feel like that's a mark where I should know something. It's a decade. What am I doing with my life? I go through those questions. I do. And I started to question, you know, my business is going so good. When I was a teenager, you called me into giving. Is that what I'm supposed to do? Like, did I miss this whole thing? Am I not called to be a pastor? I'm called to give and I'm just missing it. Like, look at, I could, like, realistically, in the next couple of years, I could make $500,000. I could pay for a property, right? Like, I could fund the kingdom. That sounds like a huge opportunity. But I found out that it was actually a distraction. What would have happened if I listened to that? I don't know. But the Lord started telling me, you're not seeing the growth that you want because you're not stewarding the opportunities that I already gave you. You think you know what it's all about because you've been around the block a couple times, so you're taking everything I'm giving you pretty lightly and you're not taking it seriously, and I've called you to take it seriously. And that's a rebuke from the Lord for me. If any of you want to take it, you can, but like that was for me. Okay, well, what does that mean? I never used to prep for my prayer call. Thursday mornings, 8 a.m. I would wake up at 7:55. Oh, this is easy. We're going to pray for this, 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 and this. I'll just kind of wing it as we go. What chapter are we reading? All right, yeah, I can just pull them out while I'm reading. I speak Christianese, as we say. I know how to look good without any prep. But when you do that for long enough, you start to get those distractions that look like opportunities because you're not stewarding what God's called you to do. And he's not going to move you any further if you're not taking your current job seriously. So I said, okay, I'm going to be a good steward of this. I prep, I get things ready. I started saying, people need to learn how to pray. I'm going to give sample prayer points. I'm going to make sure that I have a scripture verse for every single point that I make. Why? Does that need to happen? No. I can pray for the churches around the world without pulling out a scripture for it. We know that's biblical. But it holds me accountable to pull a scripture out. It holds me accountable to be prepared, to be the best that God's wanting me to do. That's something he's told me to do personally, so that's why I do it. For life groups, God told me years ago, write life group material, put together Bible studies. You have it in you. Well, now I'm studying for my life groups. I sincerely apologize for the people who were in my life groups when I was just pulling it off the app and just reading it as we go. I'm sorry. I did not steward what God was giving me, and I didn't realize the seriousness of it. But now I'm different. Hold me accountable to it. I'm preparing for these things. I'm studying for it. Media team, I'm going to steward that. I'm not going to get mad that I'm stuck in a little room back there and having to click through slides. I'm going to look at it as something that I can get more people trained on. I can show people how to do things. I can put new backgrounds up there. We can do new cool video announcements. Like, what can we do to make it exciting? What can I do to steward and honor what God's told me to do? I'm not going to look at it and say, why haven't I grown? How do I get to the end? I'm going to say, these are the little tasks that you've told me to do. I'm going to be faithful in doing them. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I'm going to tap into grace. I'm going to honor it. I'm going to make sure that my heart stays pure and serving and knowing that I'm doing it for the Lord and for his people and not doing it to see where I can get to at the end. I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to stay on track because as long as I do my part and take the steps that God's told me to take, he's going to give me the grace to do it. And he's going to empower me to accomplish what I need to do because I've kept my heart pure in serving. I haven't let aggravation come in. I haven't let myself get lazy around the things of God. But I'm honoring every single opportunity that he has for me. So, what are you thriving in this year? Have you done it? Are you doing it? Did you give up? Really, I want you to evaluate that right now. Maybe everyone's to stand. I feel like that will be more spiritual too. Everyone can stand. And I want you to just take a moment with the Lord. And really think about the beginning of the year or think about stewarding your relationship with him. What did he tell you to do? What steps did he tell you to take? Where are you? And what are you going to do to either get back on track, to find the next thing, to keep pressing on, or to start all over again, start from where you picked up? Are you stewarding your relationship with God, or are you treating it like a chore? Here's another thing God told me. If you aren't stewarding your relationship with God, what makes you think he would trust you to steward or disciple someone else? Thank you. How come they don't ask me what I think about that?
Have you asked God?
How's your relationship with God? Are you serving faithfully while you're waiting, or are you withholding what God's given you until you see yourself at the end goal? And I know these are like really harsh questions. They're not meant to be harsh. They're meant to make you think about what God's calling you to do. But I want to spend time just this evening and in the next couple minutes. If you're saying, and this is about you and God. This isn't about me praying for you here at an altar. I want to open up the altars for people that need to recommit to God, but also recommit to thriving this year. If you need to make a commitment to God and what he's calling you to do, if you want prayer for something, I can pray for you. Pastor Brad will pray for you. But before we go on, the most important thing you can steward is your relationship with God. So just with every eye closed and head bowed, I want to ask you this question. Are you stewarding your relationship with God? Or have you fallen away? Do you not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Are you listening to what I'm saying and saying, I need to commit to God? Like, I want to be in relationship with him, but I don't know how. The answer is very simple. You pray to God. The Bible says if you confess Jesus died for your sins and rose again to save you, that you'll be saved, that you'll enter into relationship with him. So if that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. If you want to pray that prayer of salvation, say, I want to come to God. I want to know him. I want to honor the call that he's put on my life by first acknowledging that he loves me and he cares for me and he died for me. Then lift up your hand. I want to pray with you. And I'll give you a couple seconds for that. But if that's, and I think I pretty much everyone here, I believe, I know, and you're in a good place, I believe. But if that's you, just let me know. If not, if you need to spend some time at the altar and repent like I had to, Lord, I'm sorry for how I treated the call that you put on my life. Show me the next step to take. I might have forgotten what it was. I don't remember what you've called me to do. There's been so much that you've called me to do that I don't know where to start. This seems like a big task. If you need to spend time with the Lord tonight, come. Come to the altar. Make a commitment coming forward that I'm not going to hide in my seat and just pretend that I've got my life figured out. I'm going to actually come forward and encounter God here at this altar and make a commitment to him. Amen. And if you want me to pray with you, I can. But if you want to just be with the Lord, then be with the Lord.